This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello everyone, welcome to this awesome podcast session by the Kenyan Wall Street and the HISA team. Remember, every Monday what we do is we meet up in the morning and we just have a general discussion about how markets have performed and generally what we're basically expecting in the coming week from an investor's perspective and also as a perspective for those of us who are actively trading on the market, whether long-term, short-term, just trying to look a little bit on the fundamentals and also just to have a view of how markets have opened and how markets are going to close and now probably how we expect markets to react this coming week. To start off, first of all, let me introduce my co-host today. His name is Davis Kavinji. I'll just let him say a word before we proceed.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here with you this morning, and I hope we have a meaningful and rich discussion.
Yeah. Awesome. On the other side, I know we have our usual co-host, Eric Asuma, who's with Ben. He's not able to join us live today, but I know he'll be able to share a few of his thoughts regarding the market. To start off, Davis, generally looking on performance that happened, the general market performance last week, we saw most of the market indices trade on the positive edge. We saw the NSE 20, the NSE 25, and the All Share Index both post gains last week. Generally, maybe if we'd start off with that, what was your thought? Do you think there's something that's causing this rally on the market, or you think that this is something that's temporary?
To be honest, it's hard to say. One of my hopes is that foreign inflows would increase. However, as I've been looking at the week-on-week data, foreign outflows have actually been increasing. So foreigners are exiting our markets, exiting on large counters such as Safaricom, KCB, Equity, Stanbic, and the like. It's my hope that, especially as banks start releasing the results, I believe KCB should do so later this week, that activity on these counters will actually increase and that market participation will actually increase. So going forward, I'm hoping that our markets do continue to improve, but at present I am not sure of the trend.
All right, Davis, maybe just to gauge your thoughts on something, don't you think that the activity that we saw on global markets might have been the cause of what happened on the local market to some extent, considering that foreign investors still maintained a little bit of an edge against local investors in terms of activity? Data last week, we saw foreign participation was at 59.5%, local participation still down at about 40.5%. That is data that was coming in from the NSE last week. And just to look at it from a global perspective, we saw equity markets globally rally. We saw the S&P, the Nasdaq, the Dow, all of them probably trading on highs. Though I think at the end of the week, the Nasdaq had probably just eased off a little bit because we saw the sell-off in most of the tech companies. But now looking at it from a local perspective, we know what really caused the global rally was, first of all, we saw the stimulus check. We saw Biden sign the American Rescue Plan, the ARP, that's the stimulus bill. Where each American family is expecting about $1,400. And then also at the same time, we saw Christine Lagarde, that's the ECB president, mention that they will increase the rate at which they, technically in layman's language, print money. Mm-hmm. And then also just a little, we also saw Japan on the other side say that they're likely to do certain measures that are likely to control the yield, the yield that is on the Japanese markets. So just looking at it from that angle, don't you think that these are some of the activities that pushed a little bit of rallies on our markets, or that's something that you feel isn't really on, you feel that's something that didn't really have an impact on the market? Just to share your thoughts.
From a global perspective, yes. So in light of investor fears, that interest rates will actually increase, you know, fears in light of inflation because of, again, the stimulus checks and the like. Of course, the central banks around the world are enforcing certain measures to reduce increase investor confidence rather. So, like, we're likely to see an increase in bond buying going forward, which will serve to reduce interest rates. Interestingly enough, the Fed has actually increased its bond buying program. However, that hasn't had the effect that they expected, since the 10-year yield, for example, is at 1.6% as at present. In fact, that's the reason why the Nasdaq went down, because when interest rates rise, the cost of capital increases. And so when you see growth stocks trading at extremely high valuations, the valuations are not justified when the cost of capital goes up. You know, it would be hard for them to get more debt. It will really reduce the valuations, in layman's terms. And so it could be a possibility that investors are seeing future risks in that particular regard, rising interest rate, the risk of inflation in light of the Biden policy, etc., and moving away from emerging markets. One of the effects of, or at least this thing may go one of two ways. So last year, when the stimulus package came in, a lot of this money moved towards assets, so land, stocks and the like, etc., especially since the cost of capital was greatly reduced. This of course led to asset price inflation, which is a bit different from the common inflation that we experience as measured by the consumer price index. So this next stimulus check, one of the fears of course investors have going forward is that it won't lead to asset price inflation. Rather, it will lead to normal inflation as measured by the CPI, because economies are opening up. So it's like you're giving people free checks and just telling them, go spend, you know. And so, yeah, those may be among the fears that are contributing toward outflows from emerging markets. And that's my take on the same.
Interesting, Davis. There's something very interesting that I want us to talk about. Now that we're looking, we've had the global perspective, we've had the view of how the local markets probably might have been affected by what happened globally. But now looking at it from another angle, and we're tearing down into stocks, let's start off with Nation Media. As expected, I believe we had that in our last podcast where we mentioned that it was expected for a little bit of a sell-off to come out of Nation Media. The selling pressure on Nation Media was slightly higher last week, where we saw NMG drop week on week. NMG had declined by about 22.8%. That's at the close of Friday. Though also, funnily enough, on Friday, Nation Media actually gained a little bit of traction.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just wondering, maybe also just if you touch a little bit on NMG before I mention something, it would be interesting.
Okay. So I believe the main reason why the share price started tanking is because of profit taking, obviously. When you have people who are up 50% and above, possibly 100, if I'm not mistaken, since the all-time lows, people want to exit out of this position. Because as much as the management has said the long-term prospects of the company are really good with its digitalization strategy, moving all things online, we haven't seen the results of that. In fact, the company announced a profit warning, which means that results are likely to be quite bad. And so, to be honest, going forward, I'd expect the counter to actually perform worse than it has at present, especially when they announce results which may not be in line with investor expectations of growth. However, long term, maybe the strategy might bear some fruit. A good gauge or a good measure is to possibly compare, I've stated it before, is to possibly compare the strategy that the Washington Post enacted under Jeff Bezos, which brought it from a point of, it was a struggling newspaper company, it moved everything online, and now it's quite profitable. If NMG is doing something similar, but now, of course, adjusted for our local market, and it's actually panning out, and there's actual growth, the actual subscribers, and more so paying subscribers, the future prospects look bright.
Interesting.
But that's very long term.
And also just to give you guys a little bit of a review for those of you who are listening to us live, Nation Media has opened market today and it's trading at prices of 20 shillings per share. That's already 2.3% from the 19 shillings and 55 cents that it closed at on Friday last week. At this time, still there is no supply on Nation Media. Demand is at about 104,100. It would be interesting to see if we're going to probably have another sell-off on NMG, or we are likely to probably have an increased demand for that stock. Last week, we saw a little bit of a selling pressure, just slightly, on Safaricom. Despite last week's turnover, which was very high, last week's turnover was one of the highest, I think it was the highest weekly turnover this month, where we saw the NSE turnover rise to about 3.2 billion. Of the 3.2 billion, Safaricom actually traded 50.26% of the week's value. Safaricom had 1.6 billion worth of shares transacted. Despite all the high activity, we are also seeing a little bit of a decline in price over the past week. Safcom closed the week at 37 shillings and 10 cents, which was slightly lower from the price it was at last week. And just also to mention, Safcom has only moved a very small volume, about 9,300 shares on the market right now. On the demand side, Safcom at live market right now, the demand is still growing at 37.15, about 101,984,000, and a supply of 749,000. So we're seeing supplies on the lower end, demand is on the higher end. But generally, Davis, do you think Safcom is likely to continue having a decline, or we should expect a little bit of an upsurge on the share price, at least back to the highs that we saw recently of about 39? Trading at 37, do you think the valuations of Safaricom are changing? What's your take?
Well, I believe long-term investors are still bullish on Safaricom. I was still yet to see the outcome of the Ethiopia telecom expansion. I'm seeing a lot of the selling is most likely a case of profit taking on to a large extent, but yes, the long-term prospects still seem good. Safaricom, when do they announce? They're supposed to announce the full year
the full year results for Safcom are supposed to come in, I think, later on, in around early May or later
May. It's further down the line.
Yeah.
Those financials will tell us how they adapted, of course, to COVID. In the short term, I would expect the company to hold, to be a hold in a sense, at the same position, not really to move around a lot. But of course, in the long term, it will likely go up, assuming that the legislation against it, since the government wants to separate Safaricom from M-Pesa, this is the second attempt, and it's not Safaricom alone. It wants to separate the telecoms division from the M-Pesa division for all telecom providers. We're yet to see the impact of that. We're yet to see if the case materializes. If that actually becomes something significant, or if legislation goes through that MPs agree to that, we will see a major sell-off in Safaricom. Because now a new entity will have to be created, and almost half its revenue, a third of its revenue,
actually from mobile money transactions.
Yeah, will just go like that. And so investors will have to adjust for that. But again, those are long-term risks that one must be cognizant of.
But man, just come to think of it, looks like Peter Ndegwa is very optimistic about Safaricom.
Yeah.
I think that's one guy who we'll really be hoping to see how he's probably the first phase of his contract over the next 3 more years. We'll just be really hoping to see how this will really span out. And maybe we'll see if he'll be able to probably do more than what Bob Colimo, the former CEO, the late Bob Colimo did during his tenure at Safaricom. But it would be interesting. Also, just to touch on the banks, Davis, last week we saw Equity Bank receive, they said they received about 150 million. They're going to get $150 million to fund SMEs. I think that's one thing that we'll be able to see on, because we saw Equity, they obtained $100 million for MSMEs,
yeah,
for lending from the European Development Bank. But then also at the same time, we're seeing KCB mentioned that they were in an there's an announcement, a contract they're supposed to be signing actually today with Huawei on a product they've been working on. I think initially they said it was Vuma, but Oigara mentioned that we should expect more than just the Vuma, the current service that we have on KCB. And so, generally looking at it from a long-term perspective, Equity Bank is here lending. And the good thing about Equity Bank is that the facility that it received, it's not only going to be for Kenya alone, but it's going to be for regions that Equity Bank is present in. The footprint of Equity Bank, I think, has now grown into about 7 countries, and that's something that it would be interesting to just see how it would be able to span across the continent in terms of also getting investor returns. But what are your thoughts generally on those two banks, Equity, KCB, with those developments?
Okay, I'm quite bullish on Equity Bank. I really do like the digitization strategy, and yeah, it's amazing to see that the first bank to hit 1 trillion with regard to their balance sheet. The expansion strategy has been bearing fruit, even though in companies such as in countries such as Congo, there's political risks therein. But I do believe that they've taken these risk metrics into account, and I really do like the way that their focus is on the small businesses within the country, because honestly, it's those businesses that build up the entire country, those businesses that provide the most employment and the like. And so I really do like their focus. Also the fact that they renegotiated a large part of their loan book with moratoriums and the like, such that these companies, these individuals are not hurt by the COVID pandemic. So they really do care about their consumer base, and I'm really longing to see how this expansion strategy pans out, how it works out, especially since majority of it is digital, not physical. And so with regard to KCB, we're still waiting on that announcement to see the products that they come up with. Maybe you can explain what Vuma is for those who may not know.
I think Vuma is more like just a mobile app that would allow guys to do a lot of transactions. It's more like a decentralized banking system that you can be able to manage on your own, because I know you can be able to receive pay bill payments directly through Vuma. You can be able to link your account, buy airtime. So it's more of like whatever we've really had, but it's more of, I'd say, a condensed form of what we've really had over time. My thoughts would have been KCB would have really worked on improving their current app, the current mobile app. Maybe that would have been something, but let's see. They're usually a way where products, a lot of products, you try a lot of products and you see which one comes in. Because I believe Safcom has also been working within the same. If you go to Play Store or App Store on iOS, I believe, you'll be able to see a lot of, even if you just Google M-Pesa app, they're close to 5 or 6. If you Google My Safaricom app, if you search My Safaricom app, you'd see about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So I know maybe that's one strategy that they're trying to look at this from. But let's see how it will come in through.
Yeah, and also the financials later this week on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I know it's interesting to see, just for long it's always been assumed that KCB has been afraid of big tech, and Equity Bank has been embracing a lot of big tech. But let's see just how the development in both KCB and Equity Bank's strategies will be able to span out.
Yeah.
And then also, just as we talk on that, we know that with tech, there are either two things. There's either job creation with tech or job loss on tech.
Yeah.
When we're talking about that, then we have to look on the economy, Davis. Last week we saw the president, Uhuru Kenyatta, issue the first coronavirus public order of 2021. In his 14th presidential address. So that's one thing that we need to look at since the pandemic began. And there are a lot of stuff that we had the president mention to contain, measures that are aimed at containing the virus. Some of them which are political, of course, which we cannot be able to engage in at this time. But I would like to mention that the president had actually quantified that last year, COVID had actually cost the economy about 560 billion in terms of nominal GDP. What's your take? also considering that some of the measures that are put in place are likely to still continue hurting one of the companies that are listed on the NSE, that's EABL, as a major point of concern. I know it's not only EABL, there are a lot of other companies still that are either affected directly or indirectly by these measures. But what's your take? Do you think that we are likely to expect another positive turn for EABL, or we should be able to still focus more on the company, say on the downside of this company in terms of returns?
Well, to be honest, I would hope that EABL goes down so we can buy more. I was actually really encouraged by the results, because a large part of the income, of course, came from the Tanzanian market, which was not really affected per se. I don't think they shut down or anything. Life continued as usual. So,
and then Davis, let me just cut you short.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned Tanzania, we're seeing a lot of developments happening on TZ. Is that a point of concern with Tanzania now? We've seen the government openly saying and advising citizens on a few measures on COVID-19. Despite the country not reporting any numbers, there's also a point of concern, and there's been a bone of contention for the past, I think, 4 days on the internet on the whereabouts of Tanzania's president, Magufuli. But we won't be able to get into that. But just now that you're mentioning Tanzania, is that a point of concern on EABL? Because I believe that is.
Yeah, it could possibly be. Especially, God forbid if we hear bad news concerning the president, then we heard it was COVID-related, we would have to... I think Tanzania would now start to take this quite seriously. They'd possibly have to do lockdown measures. But again, this is my own opinion. This may not be what actually occurs. So sadly, as you stated, we don't get information from Tanzania. All we get is rumors.
It's pure speculation.
Pure speculation, yeah. So that may affect it. Other companies, of course, are mostly within the services sector. So companies such as Serena, which is really unfortunate, because TPS, they were enacting a good recovery strategy over the years, and it was actually bearing fruit until now they had to shut everything down. Of course, that led to retrenchments and the like. In the very long term, the company will recover, albeit I'm seeing the share price has been going up. Year to date, it should be up maybe 12% or so, or from the last week alone, maybe in excess of that, which is quite interesting, because I would expect the results to be really bad going forward for the next year or two. So companies will continue to be affected by these lockdown measures. We're hoping that the vaccine will continue to, permeate through the society.
But then also seeing that, from a personal perspective, I think our vaccine rollout is a little bit slow, considering that Rwanda and Uganda are actually doing way better from a continental perspective. I think our vaccine rollout measures are a little bit slow. Maybe the government would speed that up. But let's see how all this would play out in the long run.
Yeah.
And just in case you're wondering, for those of you who are listening live, currently EABL, we're seeing bidding at 175 shillings and 50 cents, and offers coming in at 177 shillings flat. Total demand is 35,100, and total offers coming in at 51,800. So even on EABL today, we're seeing a little bit of an oversupply on the market. A little bit of supply, not oversupply really, but a supply coming in on the market. And we mentioned the banks earlier on. We are seeing KCB at 120,000 supply and 209,400 on demand. So with the demand at that, demand is at about 39.55 and supply is at 40 shillings flat. Looking on Equity Bank currently is at 39.65 and supply also has 40, just as KCB. Equity Bank demand is 331,000, supply is 53,000. In case you're wondering how you can be able to follow up on this data, please, you can always download HISA app on your mobile phone, and you can also be able to not only just view markets but also follow up on conversations like this podcast, where we'll be able to push the podcast later on onto the discussion forum on HISA. So that's one thing that we'll be able to look into. So maybe Davis, as we push through on the final bits of this, we just talk a little bit of on how the fixed income market performed. The bond market on the NSE, we saw a little bit of a decline on the bond market at the NSE, where 14 billion worth of bonds were traded as compared to last week's 18 billion on the fixed income segment. And I remember when we started, you mentioned that we should expect an increase in bond buying, with a lot of guys probably buying on bonds. But I think also last week's really is also because of, I won't really say, probably there was a lot of activity on the equities market. So that might have been a reason why we had a decline on the fixed income market. But maybe if you just share your thoughts on that, and then we can call today's session a wrap.
Okay. So to boost economic activities, I expect the CBK to keep rates low going forward. Mm-hmm. There's not likely to be an increase for a while. I do believe bond activities will remain the same or static for a while going forward.
Yeah.
Not, the yields aren't all that attractive, to be honest. Yeah, but possibly going forward, if rates go up, they'll become even more attractive and more money will move there. Thankfully, something that's helping, a large reason why banks took up a lot of debts before, mm-hmm. or government debt specifically, is of course because of the interest capping, which crowded out a lot of the private sector, etc. It's a really good thing that was removed, as that helped to possibly for banks also to deleverage their position from that, like to move on to extending out loans to individuals and the like, rather than just focusing on government securities. I would expect, just as I've stated earlier, I'd expect the trend to remain stagnant for a while, and just unless the central bank increases interest rates.
All right. And then also for those of you who've invested on the secondary bond market, if you've invested in corporate bonds, East African Breweries Limited, EABL, will be paying the 8th interest payment for the 6 billion fixed notes. These are due to mature in 2022. Payment will be made in 2 weeks' time, by around 29th of March 2021, at a rate of about 14.17%. And also, just also to look a little bit on what most of our local investment banks are recommending. As usual, we'll see a little bit on what these investment banks are saying. We are seeing, we'll start off today with FAIDA, and we're seeing FAIDA Investment Bank actually recommending Kenya Re. Maintaining their recommendations, their whole recommendation on Kenya Re, based on the trading currently, the price to book ratio. And then also other companies that they're trying to look at, also giving you a little bit of a risk. Actually, FAIDA only touches on Kenya Re today, but then also looking on Ganges Capital. Ganges has this week given a buy recommendation on KCB. So that's one thing. I know Davis had mentioned that he's more optimistic on Equity Bank than KCB, but we're seeing investment banks thinking otherwise. We'll be able to check on them, and probably just one of these days we'll be able to invite one of the guys from the investment banks and just ask what do they really base their recommendations on. And once again, remember that whatever we've mentioned as part of the during parts of our discussion, all these are not an advice to buy or sell a security. Basically, this is purely for information purposes. Before you make a trade, always ensure that you do your in-depth research, your in-depth analysis before you can be able to buy or sell a security. That's it for today. Thank you all for joining us. It's been an awesome 29 minutes, just as we had stated. It's been an awesome 29 minutes, and we believe that we'll see you guys again on Monday next week as we discuss on Markets Monday. Thank you all, and it's a sunny day here in Nairobi, so definitely keep warm and always remember to sanitize and have your mask on. See you guys on Monday.
Bye, guys.